Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Ryan Dorfman, UFC versus Fantasy Sports, here with you on this glorious Wednesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Hope everyone's day is going well. Let's get right to it. Got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Let's begin with the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are 7-2 off their best start in 17 years. Obviously, a lot to take from opening weekend. The team against the Giants, they went 3-1 against the Giants. Very impressive. Obviously, not something that the Giants are used to, especially against the Diamondbacks, particularly. Basically, when it comes to the Arizona Diamondbacks and their team, they need to do four key things in order to continue their success. First of all, when it comes to the Diamondbacks, they have to stay healthy, you know. They have to stay healthy. So, I mean, really, David Peralta and A.J. Pollock, primarily, these two guys really need to stay off the disabled list. The second thing that they need to do is their rotation needs to be consistent. So that means that Zach Greinke, Shelby Miller, and Robbie Ray cannot have seasons like last year where they were brought in, Miller and Greinke were brought in, one of them signed, the other one traded to the Diamondbacks, and completely underperformed. Greinke was nowhere near the player that he was when he was on the Dodgers last year, and Shelby Miller was not an all-star last year. And so they really underperformed, and we need them to pitch up to their potential. All three of those guys. You know, Robbie Ray was very unlucky. He had the highest differential between ERA and FIP. And FIP, it's a fielding independent pitching. Basically, FIP is like a measure of what a pitcher's ERA should be. And for more info on that, you should go to Fangraphs.com and check out their glossary, and you can learn more about the importance of FIP. FIP. His strikeout numbers, his K9 numbers are very, very high. Ks per nine, strikeouts per nine innings. And Robbie Ray, he's got great stuff. He's got really, really big strikeout stuff. Really great strikeout stuff. And I think that he's in for a really good year. He's been good so far. I really like Robbie Ray. So I think that behind, if those three guys pitch up to their potential and Taijuan Walker shows some improvement and we can just get some stuff out of Patrick Corbin, then I do believe that this squad can be good. Third, the thing that the Diamondbacks need to do is fix their closer situation, you know. On Sunday, in the game against the Indians, you know, Fernando Rodney almost went up a 2-1 home run at the end of the game and top of the ninth, one out, and blew the save. Now, this is not something that I was surprised about. I thought it was going to be a home run. Then just yesterday, he comes out and gives up two earned runs in the ninth inning, almost blows the save. Fernando Rodney is not the answer for a closer. Neither was last year's Brad Ziegler. So basically, we need to trade Fernando Rodney, and I think that moving Archie Bradley, our one of the long relievers, to closer would be very good because Archie Bradley throws 97-98. He's a flamethrower, and I really think that adding him as our closer, that substituting Bradley for Rodney as our closer would do wonders for the team, and I think that if we need to trade Rodney, trading Rodney would be a very good idea. And last but not least, we need these guys. They need to believe they can win the games. They need to believe that they are capable of winning the NL West deep down in their hearts, deep down in their guts, in their blood, in their veins. They need to believe it with every ounce in their body. And if they can do those four things, they have a very good shot at winning the NL West. Obviously, you know, Coach Torey Lovullo said that, you know, it's very early. They're still laying down the first brick of this foundation. They got many more bricks to go. They got a long way to go. But he's obviously very proud of these guys and then the way that they fought so far through opening week. And they look like a really good team right now. The hitting looks great. And if the pitching can just be decent, to, you know, can be decent, then we got a good shot at winning the NL West. Now, now that you got that out of the way, let's talk a little bit about some other sports. Obviously, UFC 210 just wrapped up, where Daniel Cormier defeated Anthony Rumble Johnson in the second round via submission. Now, we're going to look at this very quickly because there's not really a lot of storylines here except for the fact that there are some quick tidbits I want to go over. Obviously, Cormier had trouble making weight. He had to weigh in, like, twice. And so I immediately thought, hey, like, I was like, this guy's going to lose. So because usually when fighters have trouble making weight, they look depleted, kind of look like an alien, you know, fighting. And it wasn't something that I was expecting. So I thought Cormier was going to lose to Rumble's power. Of course, knowing that Cormier's phenomenal ground game, phenomenal wrestling game. So Cormier comes in, and the first round, it really, to be completely honest with you, the first round, it looked like it was a tough, obviously tough weight cut. So Rumble was trying to tire him out in that first round. Rumble was trying to tire him out. And I think it kind of backfired on him. Cormier actually had his nose broken in the first round. So, you know, Rumble Johnson came out in the second round. Cormier comes out in the second round with a broken nose, battles, gets Rumble on the ground, tires him out, and sinks in the choke. And it was a beautiful, phenomenal, and impressive victory for Daniel Cormier at a light heavyweight. They asked Cormier about John Jones, who's eligible to return, I think, on July 5th. You know, basically, John Jones needs to get his act together, is what Cormier was saying. He was saying that, you know, he's like, who's John Jones? You know, kind of playing around, saying, I don't know who John Jones is. Come back to me when you can pass a drug test or something like that. And I think he has a right to say that. You know, John Jones really disappointed me last year, taking estrogen blockers. What are you doing taking estrogen blockers? I have no idea. But I mean, he's eligible to return in July, and I do believe that John Jones will be victorious when he comes back and fights for the light heavyweight title. I'm assuming he'll get a title shot when he gets back. I mean, he's still John Jones. So that being said, UFC 211 is coming up. Henry Cejudo is fighting. Joanna Jędrzejczyk is fighting. Eddie Alvarez is fighting. Steven Miocic is fighting. Frankie Edgar, I believe, is fighting. It's going to be a terrific card. I think it's on May 11th or May 13th. Or maybe it's May 6th. I'll have to double check. But either way, it's going to be in May. And I'm really looking forward to that card. And that's definitely the card you're going to want to watch. So moving on to basketball. Personally, to be honest with you, there are some storylines in basketball right now that I'm a little concerned about. So let's just begin with Russell Westbrook, the whole MVP thing. I don't think that there should be co-MVPs. I really don't think that there should be co-MVPs. I think Russell Westbrook is the one and only MVP. I don't really see the reason why you could make the case that James Harden should be the MVP. I mean, because Russell Westbrook averaged triple double. So that's just me. By the way, the Brooklyn Nets are doing something tonight, which is shocking. It's honestly shocking. They're sitting six players tonight. Six players. The Brooklyn Nets are sitting six players. Yeah, the Brooklyn Nets are sitting six players. So basically, it's very, very weird. It's really, really weird. I don't understand why the Boston Celtics have that pick. They own Brooklyn's pick, so it's not like they're trying to tank and get that pick. it's not like it's not like they're trying to tank and get that pick. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me why they would do that. You know, so they're sitting Brook Lopez, they're sitting Trevor Booker, and they're sitting Jeremy Lin. Why they're doing it, I have no idea. They're playing the Chicago Bulls. Maybe they just don't like the heat. I mean, they're playing the Chicago Bulls, and obviously you know that these games tonight are huge. The Bulls, the Pacers, and the Heat are all fighting for a playoff spot. If the Bulls win, they're automatically in. And obviously it sounds like they're going to, especially with, you know, a playoff spot on the line and Brooklyn sitting six guys, three of them due to rest, three of them due to injury. So it seems like that, you know, the Bulls are definitely gonna win the game. So then honestly, it's really gonna come down to the Pacers and the Miami Heat. And the Miami Heat need the Pacers to win first of all against the Wizards, who are a very good team. And the Heat also need the Pacers to lose to the Hawks. Both things could happen. You know, the Heat are a good team. They're good enough. They are good enough to beat the Wizards, and the Hawks are a solid team. So I think that the Hawks are going to win, but we'll see if the Heat can pull out a victory here. I'm hoping they can, obviously, from Miami. You know, I'm a Heat fan. In other news, Jarvis Landry of the Miami Dolphins went on record saying that he thinks the Miami Dolphins are going to sweep the Patriots. He thinks that the Miami Dolphins are going to sweep the Patriots. He went on record saying that the Patriots are no longer our big brother. And I would say that I agree with that. I don't think the Patriots are the Dolphins' big brothers anymore. Dolphins are a good team. They got a good squad. So I definitely do not believe that, you know, that like, you know, that it's just an automatic lock for the Pats. You know, Dolphins are a good team. They got some good guys. They got some young players. And they can really surprise a lot of people. Do I think they'll sweep the Patriots? No. It's very hard to win in Lambeau. I mean, sorry, not in Lambeau. And sorry, I'm thinking of the Packers right now in Foxborough. Richard Sherman, other NFL news, Richard Sherman, his name's been tossed around in trade talk and trade discussions. That has been very, very interesting to me. Very, very interesting to me, to be completely honest, because he's amazing. If you look at the stats, through his first four seasons, Richard Sherman, 30 interceptions, four Pro Bowls, three first-team All-Pros, and one ring. First 6 seasons for Deion Sanders. 30 interceptions, 4 Pro Bowls, 3 All-Pro, 1 ring. Identical stats to Richard Sherman. Identical. Richard Sherman is one of, and will continue to be, one of the best cornerbacks in the league, if not the best cornerback in the league. His presence is unbelievable. And the reason why his stats aren't even better than they are now is because teams are afraid to throw the ball in his direction. Otherwise, he'd be getting more interceptions. So, honestly, it's not about who gets the most interceptions. I mean, because in a way, the real stat determining a good quarterback is how many times that the ball is thrown in the direction. Because if it's not, you know that teams are afraid to throw to them. Quarterbacks are afraid to throw to them. So, obviously, I think you have to just say, hey, you know what, he's that good, and he really is. He really is that good. So, that being said, Richard Sherman, I don't think he'll lead the Seahawks. But you never know. And if he did, I heard the Patriots are looking at him. If the Patriots get Richard Sherman, there's no way the Dolphins are going to sweep them, because he'll shut down Jarvis Landry himself and be like, what was that you said about sweeping us? And obviously something like that. So you don't want that happening. Malcolm Butler is also a good quarterback, too, so I don't really know how that's going to work out for the Dolphins, but we'll see. I want to mention something quickly about Shelby Miller. I know I was talking about him before, and speaking of Shelby Miller,
he's looked a lot better, you know, this year. He's looked a lot better this year. If you look at his stats, if you look at Shelby Miller's stats, and I'm looking at them right now, he, you know, I mean, his first outing, 5 innings pitched, 5 hits, 3 earned, 3 walks, 7 strikeouts, and a win. Not bad, you know, not bad. He looked bad to start out the game, but he maintained his composure. Out of the final 14 batters, he only let 3 of them get on base. You know, he just – last year was a disaster, but he had a good start this year. There was a stat that said that, you know, his fastball velocity last year averaged 92.9, and in the game on the 7th, so about 5 days ago, so I think that'd be, what, Friday? Yeah, Friday. He reached 95.7 miles an hour on his fastball. So the fastball velocity is up, which is good. His whiff rate went from 7 to 11.4. And his cutter is averaging a 25% whiff rate. So he's 7 hits out of 20. The batters have made contact 7 times. And they've been throwing the cutter 28 times. So good right there. More baseball talk. The Cubs get their rings today.
The Cubs get their rings today,
which is obviously great for the city of Chicago, for the whole Cubs organization. Obviously, you have to give them props. You know, 108 years, there's going to be 108 diamonds on the ring. Some of these guys are saying that they're going to, you know, put it in a safe, lock it away. Some of them are saying that they're going to wear it every day to the field. And I'm talking about Javier Baez. He's the guy that's saying he's going to wear it to the field. Most of them are saying that they'll probably bring it out on special occasions. If they go out for like a night, do a nice restaurant or something, they'll wear it out, or, you know, they'll wear it just on special nights. And I think that's what I would do. I think that you should show it off a little bit because, I mean, it's the Cubs. And it's been 108 years. And I think for such an accomplishment like that, I think that you have to show it off, and that you should. But look, guys, I mean, here's the thing. I think that the Cubs are going to be a really good team this year. I think that they could definitely, repeat potentially. I think they've got a good chance at repeating. I really do. You can't really say that about a lot of teams. But I really do believe that they have a good shot at repeating this year. Now, moving on, some NFL talk. And the draft is coming up, and there are some prospects that I really like. But before we get to that, I want to mention that Gary Sanchez is being dropped in many leagues on ESPN. I don't understand why. It doesn't make any sense to me why it's happening. He's only out for about a month, probably. I mean, well, I'm going to look at the news report for him right now. And it's very interesting why anyone would drop Gary Sanchez. He's a top 3 catcher. He's being dropped in a bunch of leagues. He's going to be out about a month. Grade 1 strain for bicep strain. You know, it is what it is. It's Gary Sanchez, but you don't drop a guy like that. He's too good. Todd McShay put out a 3-round perfect pick mock draft today at 5 o'clock in the morning, by the way, Mountain Time, so 8 a.m. I don't know what he's doing. I'm not sure what Todd McShay is doing. But he put out a mock today at 8 a.m. I'm sorry. and he, look, here are the major things I'm seeing today.
The Cleveland Browns, he's got having a fantastic draft by all measures. Myles Garrett is a franchise-changing defensive player, and he's very, very good. I think he compares very favorably to Julius Peppers. He's got O.J. Howard, who I think is going to be an amazing player. And at the end of the second round, he's got Mitch Trubisky, quarterback from North Carolina. If they were to get those three guys, that would be really impressive. If I were them, I would switch out Deshaun Watson for Trubisky. He has Watson going one pick after Trubisky. I'm sorry. And then, by the way, he has Trubisky at the beginning of the second round, not the end. And he has Watson going right after Trubisky. The 49ers, by the way, I think Watson is better than Mitch Trubisky. I see a lot of red flags with Trubisky, so I would prefer Deshaun Watson. And I really like, again, I really love O.J. Howard. I love his size. He's 6'6", 250. Really impressive. He's got Deshaun Watson and Solomon Thomas going to the Niners, which is a good 1-2 punch there. Other names that I really like, Jonathan Allen, I think he's great. He doesn't have to take him Fournette. And I'm not, by the way, I'm not really buying Leonard Fournette just yet. I think that he couldn't perform against the Alabama defense. And this Alabama defense is the closest thing you'll get to an NFL defense. If he can't perform against Alabama, I'm concerned of how he will perform against an NFL D. The Titans, he's got John Ross. John Ross is the next to Deshaun Jackson, in my opinion. He's exactly the same player, but even faster. John Ross is going to be a terrific open field player, a dynamite playmaker. He'll return kicks, punts, he'll be a terrific down the field wide receiver for any team that gets him. The Jets, he's got also another three solid picks. Malik Hooker, Deshaun Kizer, and Jake Butt. All three solid picks for a abysmal team like the New York Jets. Going down, Corey Davis going to the L.A. Chargers. Obviously, they could use another receiver. Keenan Allen just can't seem to stay off the injury list. You've got Leonard Fournette going to the Panthers. Now, I don't think that Fournette, I'm not buying him per se yet, but on the Panthers, I really like that scheme they do. They like to do an inside zone power running scheme, and he would really fit well with that. Nice 1-2 punch there with him, along with Cam Newton. It would be impressive. The Bills getting Reuben Foster and Buda Baker would be really nice. I love Reuben Foster. I think he's an animal. And then we got other guys. The Cardinals, they have the Cardinals taking Jabril Peppers in the middle of the second round. I really like Jabril Peppers. And then Nathan Peterman, third round, U of A quarterback. I know I'm not going to like that one. I hate U of A. The Eagles taking Christian McCaffrey would be interesting to see. The Redskins taking Joe Mixon. Doesn't really make much sense to me there. I mean, Robert Kelly really performed well for them. I mean, Joe, as good as I think Joe Mixon's going to be, I just don't see the Redskins seeing a need for him. I see the Buccaneers maybe taking him. I mean, Doug Martin's just been getting hurt on and on and on and on and on and on. And besides that, I mean, Dolphins, nothing much there for my Miami Dolphins, so I'm not really going to cover that. Dalvin Cook to the Raiders, but, you know, if Marshawn goes there, who knows what direction they're going to go in, and we don't even know what Marshawn is going to do yet. that's really what we got in terms of big picks. And there's also T.J. Watt. I want to go over T.J. Watt. Dory Jackson to the Rams. Yeah, okay. T.J. Watt, I think, is going to be – obviously, he's the brother of J.J., and I think he'll be a very good player. I obviously don't think he'll be as good as his brother, but because of his tremendous work ethic and because of his ability to impact games and lead teams, I think he'll be a really good player. Last but not least, guys, I want to address NBA playoff matchups and just go over what I believe what the matchups will be. I'm going to predict that the Heat – I think the Heat will make it into the playoffs.
I really do. I think the Hawks will win at the Heat, and I think that the Heat will win. So I'm going to look at the standings. Sorry, not the standings, but at the matchups right now. And I'm trying to find them, which is very weird. I can't really find them right now. Here we go.
Okay. Now, playoff matchups. Obviously, the Celtics and the Cavs both have one game left. So let's just assume that everything stays the same. Let's just say that the Cleveland Cavaliers play the Miami Heat. It's 2-7. Now, 1-8, Boston versus Chicago. I would have to go ahead and say that Boston would win that series in five games. I think that Cleveland would probably sweep Miami. No offense, but I just, as much as I love my Heat, you know, I think that Cleveland would just demolish us. I think that Toronto versus Milwaukee, 3-6, I'd have to go with Milwaukee in seven games. I think I really like the Bucks. I think that their size would be a really big problem for Toronto. Giannis is just so good. And I know that Toronto's got a lot of good pieces. I really like the Bucks pulling off the upset here. And I think that Washington beating the Hawks in six. And that's 4-5. From the West, I got Golden State. I would have Golden State beating Portland in five games. San Antonio over Memphis. And that would be, I think that would even go 6 or 7 games. If I had to say, I think it would go 6. I would have Oklahoma City over Houston in 7. And I would have LA over Utah in 5. So that being said, we'd move on to the second round now. And a matchup between number 1 Boston and number 4 Washington. I would have to go with Boston in 7. And I would say Cleveland beats Milwaukee in 5. Then obviously we got Golden State number 1 versus number 4 LA. I would have Golden State in 5. And for San Antonio versus Oklahoma City, I would have the Spurs in 6. Now, we would have Boston versus Cleveland. I would have Cleveland in 6. For the Western Conference, Golden State, San Antonio, I would have to go with Golden State in 6. So, again, the third year in a row, Golden State versus Cleveland. And I'm going to go with the Golden State Warriors winning the NBA Finals in 6 games. I think that there's going to be a revenge factor. I think that I believe that, you know, I think Cleveland will take one of those games at home. Actually, Cleveland will take one of the games in the Bay Area. It'll be 1-1. I think they'll obviously win 1-2 at home, so they'll be 2-2. And then I think that Golden State, you know, goes back and then makes it 3-2 and then 4-2. I think Golden State wins in 6. Or in 7. I could definitely see it go to 7 games again. But I think that the Warriors, with Kevin Durant, I just think that it's going to be – it's revenge time for the Warriors, and I think they're gonna win the championship. It should be a very, very good matchup. Obviously, you know Kyrie's going to come out and ball. And, you know, LeBron's going to come out and ball. So, anyway, guys, thank you for listening to the show. I'm sorry if my mic problems haven't been good today. But find me next same time, probably, if not Monday at 1. Thanks for listening, guys. Have a great day. Catch you later.